And that would frame a lot of citizens this way, individuals, attitudes that went out towards God and Christ from the Holy Spirit, and we should have reported. And the light was not about the citizens of the church and the gospel. And then we'll talk about the other things that I mentioned concerning. Our attitude towards these things, and that will determine, really, who we are and what we are. And now we look at spiritual matters. And I hope the lesson this morning gets to all of us to think about those things that we ought to think about. And as you look at this picture, as you see on the glory, and as we observe this, and we have some information and come to see, what do you see in this picture? And there is evidence, there are things that you and I have before that we see. And once we see those things and then we look at them, what is our attitude towards that which we see? And the question then is, what did we see in the picture? How many of us have not only one copy of the Bible, but many? And as you think about that idea, then where did the word come from that was revealed in the Bible? And the book that we have before us, where did these words come from? What makes them important? And as we look at our attitude towards these, we're going to determine really what each one of us can do concerning the Word of God. And what do we see in the picture? What we see is about Lord. Why is that important? If you do not open, and I do not open the Bible, what is it? And I am the Lord that has what the cause of having the Bible. If they put it on this plate or on the coffee table, or something, what is going to deserve it? But in reality, what good is it in Scripture that we know? And the Bible is not used. We do not get to understand what God wants us to be and to do. And you and I need to form an attitude. If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, and God has promised us we should be filled. And as we talk about the importance of the Bible, what is our attitude towards the Scriptures, the church, and the gospel? Are they important? Is it something that we need to be concerned with in our life, that we will do those things that we see revealed in the Scriptures? That will enable us to be a person that is one day added to the Lord's church. That the gospel is being taught unto us, that we understand that it is a power of God unto salvation. That's how important the Bible is. Then the person is what he does with the honor of his attitude is the center that you and I have upon that attitude. And as I have this morning, the attitude is defined as a mental position with regard to a fact or to a fact. And as we will look at the lesson this evening, how to really profit from the Bible. And how we can really profit from the Bible, I want to begin looking at the book of James in chapter 1. real special corner, I want to talk about. And James here reveals some things about the vision. Reveals unto us the importance of the Bible. As we begin in verse 21, wherefore, wherefore, all filthiness and filthy of knowledge, and receive the meekness, the unmasking of the unclean word, which is able to save our souls. It's important because it will enable us to have a living soul. As you look in verse 22 of this same chapter, you see, but it be a doer of the word of God here at home. And as you search the scriptures, and as I search the scriptures, we see two things about being the soul. We ought not let others deceive us, nor should we deceive ourselves. Because deception don't help people. It is that what will cause Christ to be hidden from people by deception. Be not knowing that it is deception. Because God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that is also the word. As we look further in James, as you look in verses 23 and 24, we find that for as many of you be hearers of the word and not doers, he is likened to a man beholding his natural place in the ground. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway begins to put down the man who walks. Why do we look in the mirror in a physical way? To try to fix what needs to be fixed. And satisfy some of us need to have something different to get. And verse 25. For whosoever looks at him as a person already, notice now, and continue. It's not something that either do once. It's not just something that we just say, well, I've done it. But James is telling us here that whosoever looks into the front of the form of liberty and continues out in, he being not a forgetful here, but a doable work. About what? Those people that don't get out there, you mean to say, do it. Because a lot of people in the religious world don't want to believe that we need to do anything because Christ is very nice. And Christ has done his part. God has done his part. The Holy Spirit has done his part. Whose part is wrong? My part. They do it for work. And if we do that, we do it. And as we continue to think about this, as I mentioned, we talk about the scriptures, the church, and the gospel. We need to recognize that God is the source of the scriptures. God saw fit that He would reveal unto us His mind. As we know in this moment about God and about Christ and the Holy Spirit. He saw fit. And the Spirit searched the deep things of God and revealed unto us the mind of God. So when you and I read these words, these are words from God that the Spirit revealed unto the apostles and the ends of the apostles and the apostles that you may know unto us. The mind of God. And God is the source of this. Because all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And is possible for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and righteousness, that a man of God might be perfect, serving him from the head of the Lord, fully and fully. You and I will need nothing else other than what he has given us in his word. We don't need the creeds of men, the doctrines of men. God is the Bible, the Lord is the Lord. To know what he meant us to do, and it's up to us to do what he's done. In 2 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 21. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of men or man, but all of them come, faith as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So we have the Spirit. We have the Scripture that is designed and is up for us to form attitude. What is our attitude towards the Scripture? They are revealed unto us by God, knowing what we can do to please God. Whatever it is that God wants us to do, he has instructed us in his word. It's up to each one of us to make up our mind of what our attitude is going to be concerning that matter. What we need to do is to open the Bible, not just read it, but study it. Now, the vast difference between reading and studying. Taking and studying the Word of God that will demonstrate that we are blessed, that you and I ought not to be ashamed. But we have a right or we do not misuse, twist, or misuse the teaching that it is revealed by the Holy Spirit from heaven. How important is the Word of God to us? Bless us that man will be able. Should man have needed that all life would be restored, and they would succeed. I don't believe it could be or would be, but that's the point that they were. How would this make you want to see? And ever have you an answer? Be based on the attitude that we have concerning the truth and the Word of God and the church and God and Christ and all the truth. Because that's what the Bible is all about. What is our responsibility to Scripture? And as we think about this idea, we need to recognize that God is the source of all truth. And John tells me in verse 17, he is the same, sanctify him by thy truth, thy word is truth. All thanks to the word of truth. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16. That will remember steadfast and hold the vision which you were taught. Notice now by two minutes. They were either taught by our word or our word or by our truth. As you look at what Paul was saying to those of you hold fast to the word. You turn back. Paul is also known as the saying, you turn back. Be unmovable. Always abandoning the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain. For what brings it different to this situation. And as you look at this idea of deliverance, and you look at deliverance, and it says, whosoever transgresses and goes wrong with and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, has not God. Very simple. They either have God, versus the idea that we don't have that. And one of the essential for all of us is one of our attitudes. The war. We're either going to abide in the doctrine of Christ, or we're going to abide in the doctrine of Christ. And what determines that is how we receive and while we reject and while we reject the Word of God. So how do we receive the Word of God? And as you talk about this idea, some that are indifferent towards the Word of God, there are people that are just indifferent. They argue against it, they don't believe that which is revealed. It's kind of like the Pharisees. Even some people will say people that rely upon the Scriptures and rely upon God are big-minded people. It is discouraging when people will not think, when people will or accept what is revealed or give heed to the Bible or sermon. You take a group of people and it's those that make up that group. If you have some that are indifferent, it's all the difficulties of all the whole world. Sam on the horse. I don't know what's that. I don't know if we can run about the Word of God. So I don't know. It's not coming. Understanding what the Bible reveals from creation, the book of Genesis, and how God proved his man throughout the Old Testament should help us to have a place to live on. Have you ever thought, what is it the joy of the world? What is that? When you read the life of Joseph and start in Genesis 37 and go to 39, and then you jump over to chapter 50, when you look at these men, you might find Joshua. What a man might be in Joshua. And is it possible for me? And is it possible for you to be a Joseph, to be a Joshua? I'm convinced. We better pray. Because we're not. We stand in the presence of the Lord. Joseph was one that God chose. You and I, we're God chosen. But we're chosen by the gospel. The gospel is God's power to show it, as I noted earlier from Romans 1 and verse 16. But as we begin to read the scriptures and as we look at the faith of Abraham, And if you look at many of the other churches in the Old Testament, you and I can have the same thing. Should I say it to you? We say it enough. But the promise is there. To unbelief, but to be strong in faith, give the glory to God. And if we do that, baby, we can have a place to break down. All things are given to us of God. When you look at the things now, what is my attitude toward it? What about the food that we eat? What about the water we drink? What about the clothes that you and I have? What about the air that we breathe? What do we do with that? Where are all those coming from? What is our attitude toward it? Are we doing it right for the God? Or for God and for the sin? Don't you look at this verse, in Acts 20 and verse 32. And I'm sure if you read the report from Paul to the Ephesians elders, and as you look at this verse, what do you see? And we're going to read the word. And it says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. And to the work of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all men, which are sanctified. But is there anything more? When you read this verse that we can glean from it, to help all of us to have a good attitude towards the Scripture. I want to mention this to us, and as we look at this verse, if we get nothing else, I don't know that. The importance of realizing that what God has revealed unto us is not from man, but it's from God. And Paul here starts that, giving credit to God. Because notice what he says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. The hope of all time. Not only that, but he says, and to the words of his grace, which is revealed in his instruction for all of us. And not only the words of instruction that we have, that is able to do something for us, and it is to build us up. That's the result of it. And as we look at the next point that he says, and to give you an inheritance, isn't it? Among all men, with your sons and daughters, of the Lord. All of them. From us. God reveals it in the Scripture. How you and I can have these funds to help me know the cost. And what we have is these funds are bound to our spiritual growth. It deals with force, instruction, results, benefits, and rewards. comes out the gospel for a minute. The gospel is not power. The Christ is not moving earlier, and as we looked at from Romans 1 and verses 16 and 17, all scripture is given of God, and we need to be proof of that. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For there is, that is in the gospel, is revealed the righteousness of God, the voice of God, and the judge shall live. This is like from back to chapter 2, verse 4, the book of the Bible. Don't worry about that. I want to use the letter that Paul wrote to Titus. And this is 11 through 14. And in these verses, we have the word of salvation. And what we see is unwell. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Now we have in the religious world people of authority that we are saying the grace of God. And the human consciousness would be wrong if everybody would be certain. And they will use the idea that Paul writes to Titus here in Titus 2 and verse 11, that salvation has appeared to the whole man. It doesn't stop that. Remember, Bible principle was born from Isaiah 2018. Precept was set upon bookshelf, line upon line, here a little bit of it. And we talked about this principle. And as you think about this principle, that here we find that not only is the word of God revealed and appears to all men, but this word is here something more. And now something more than what it says. Something more that the grace of God is involved in the salvation of man. And he is required to do something in order to do something. In verse 12. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, as verse 11 says. But notice what verse 12 says. This grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this great grace. It teaches God that is born, we must do our part. In verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearance of the great God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the first thing to say? Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself. What kind of people? And for you, you see. One is us. We have to do it for doing the work of God. Or do we have to do it? You may not have to. Really? Do you think I have to? What is behind it? It's an attitude that we have. One that we're trying to do. The gospel is for us. when you look at this idea that the gospel lives for all, when you look at Matthew 28 and then verse 5:30, so we not for a big moment, that has been them in the mind of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But that they had Jesus the Lord Jesus, as we talked before, and here again. When you read the scriptures, or when you read the Bible, these are things that look for us. And for this Wednesday, we'll talk about what is our attitude towards these things, and that you will notice these things that we'll talk about. When you think and you open your Bible and you begin to read the Bible, you will see things that we'll talk about in a general way, more in a specific way, as you said in your Bible. That's how we're going to see it, right? That's how we develop a love for God and a love for the Word of God and do the work that God has given us to do. In 1 Corinthians 15, in verses 1 to 11, when you look at this passage, God wants His enemies to prove to everyone in the world. It is noted back to the charge that really that God gave unto the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. It is the good news. And as you look at this good news, that we find, how are we going? When you look in 1 Corinthians 15, that we're saved by the gospel when we are obedient to it. And if we're not obedient to the gospel, the object of that is the wrong. That's why when you and I look at Romans 8 and verse 1, the way that it's going to obey you. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And you look at that verse, and you can draw the conclusion beyond any shadow of a doubt. There is no condemnation in Christ. But on the opposite of that, there is condemnation to those that are outside of Christ. They're not upon us. But we might be by truth, what will happen? How will we come to know the things of God? So when you build your understanding, and as I build my understanding, when we study the Word of God, and if we add these things up, here again, back to the Bible principle. Line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept. If you add all these things up, and what will you have? You'll have the complete Word of God. Furnished before your eyes. That when we live, we may understand what the Word of the Lord is. And if we understand what the Word of the Lord is, we'll be lost. From Ephesians 5, from verse 7, be not unwise, but understand what the Word of the Lord is. I want to mention a few times here that deal with the plan of salvation. And look at the things that he that lives in that time the other way is taken from Mark 16 and verse 16. I want to briefly go through these things. And look at baptism and what the scriptures are concerning baptism and the other things that are mentioned. that will lead to an ultimate goal that all of us desire, and that is to be one of the starting on our salvation and be in heaven after the church. That is an end point. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, where all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus for as many years have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. We reap the blessing. And we reap the blessings that are in Christ. This is what Ephesians 1 and verse 6 and verse 3 says. All kinds of blessings are in Christ. What can we conclude from Ephesians 1 and verse 3? If all spiritual blessings are in Christ, the next question is, can any of our sons come? Zero. And as you look further in this, it brings us forward something. That more endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation, which is in Christ with the eternal glory. And what we're saying is, he that believes in the baptized will receive these benefits if we do it as the Word of God reveals. The next point in this is dealing with the same idea. The baptized in his name. By the authority of God. By the authority of Christ and the Holy Spirit. That is what is used in Matthew 28 and verse 45 and 45. That is in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them. Teaching them what? To observe all things whatsoever I command them, even unto the end of the day. When you think about this, we reach the mission of faith. Because baptism is part to the mission of faith. When I shed his blood, that you and I might have the forgiveness of our faith. Without the shedding of blood, but that's not the mission of faith. The blood of the bulls and goats did not accomplish. Except the blood of Christ. And he was willing to shed his blood and to purchase the church through his own blood. It brings something. Neither is our salvation in any other, for there is none other name but the heaven given among men. For thou we must be saved from here to end. It's going to be baptism into the body. The body of the church is synonymous. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit are we baptized into the one God. We reach the church, and we are submissive and obedient to the gospel, and it will bring us. For the husband is the head of the wife, and even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior. And really, the thing for what that's what it means that we are with the other motives and all the emotions. We're dead with our Lord in baptism. We're the way we walk in the hands of God. We reach the blood of Christ in baptism. The old man said, the book of death, we crucified the Lord. And we're ready. And it depicts the resurrection of Christ in our lives. We're in obedience to God. It brings. It brings forward. When you look in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his blood. Praise of God to bring us salvation and the fear of the Lord. But it doesn't stop in the present. And as we know we've been learned here, there's more good. So when you talk about the grace of God, it deals with that which stops us. You and I will find that which God says in his word to be good. Come forth and rescue from bondage. From another aspect I want us to look at is those who are obedient to the gospel. If you have an Acts 2 in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord adds to the church there, such as should be so. God will take care of his children. Man has nothing to do with the heavy part. Man has the responsibility of being obedient. So that is what I'm saying. And as a man, or as a person, I should say, will fulfill their responsibility to God. They can have hope of the promise that God made that he'll fulfill. That's what you accomplish. Ephesians 4 and verses 4 through 7, I mentioned this in our lesson this morning. The sermon one. And as we talk about the religious groups and the million, or not million, but many, the vast numbers that have came into existence in the last 40 years, if we just touch Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 7, and everybody would do, will be 7 miles off. And understand what God has said concerning these 7 miles. There will be no division. We will all be on the same mind and on the same judgment. Because that's God's design. And Paul writes of this in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. The 7 ones are this. That's one body, or one church. There's one spirit. There's one hope. There's one order. There's one blood. I don't know where he all got the place of the Lord. But sitting down in the room. One, when you talk about spiritual matters, full time, and I don't know what the answer is, but that doesn't make any sense. Because the will of God is not formed by the will of man, but the ordinary of God. But it's what they don't know, from the Holy Spirit. You look at the one person. When you look at the message, how many religious groups there are that live within the world that that is one of the essentials of salvation? And yet, as you look at this, that there is not that good. But what about the people that advocated the mold and say that you have to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? But Paul wrote this. He and bring us more in. What is our attitude to the Lord? What does that want is? And what all our attitude is towards this one who has come to who we are. And what for us? So either we are a follower of God, or we will be a follower of some man. Isn't that so? Try it one night, just is it part of that business, or is it that business? No, it's not. As the apostle put it. Which is? It is part of that business, as you find the believer in the Christian. And my word is that when you read the book of Acts and you study the book of Acts, and you look at all the conversions that are given in that book, and as you look at these conversions, you will not find that all the conversions that it mentions about the belief or repentance or confession. It don't mention every one of them and every one of the conversions. But back to the Bible question. He says, the one who says, line upon line, here is the word of God. And when you begin to gather all the scriptures, you'll find what God requires of all of us to do is on the child of God. But the religious world won't do that. And as you look at what is right and what's wrong, and what the religious world does, but when you look at that ism and those things, every one of the conversions you read in the book of Acts, the one thing that the religious world does is not essential is mentioned. And that's that truth. And it is beyond mercy how it can take you to try to miss the perfection of that is not essential. Older than the idea is that they know better than nothing. Mm-hmm. And who's going to judge when the day of judgment? If you're going to be some man, or if God is going to judge. And whether we accept or whether we reject the word of God, who's going to judge us? And it's going to lose the whole world to be open to the gospel. One that is that one God and one. And vision one, but according to it, according to it, and that's put all things under his feet and gave it to be head on all things to the church, which is his body, which is the fullness of him that fills all in us. Walking through. Now looking at the eternal of God's eternal power. And when you look at God's eternal power, get more. Get more trouble than you do. It's not a secret. It's not me. It's revealed. And it's placed on an attitude that you and I have. going to be forgiven people and praise the Lord and be receptive and obedient to us. And we'll be moving down to you. There's more knowledge in Scripture. It is revealed on the earth. It's revealed on the rock that you can touch and hold God's word and you can see that Jesus is saved and really benefit from this world. Here. We're working and we're sitting. And we are gone. But I am. Not only is it more noted in Scripture, not only is it revealed in the Bible, it's realized in the church. The call of the Lord. Those who have been translated out of the darkness into the kingdom of the good hope.
The grand name of the Lord is above.